The scripture reading for today is John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 through verse 9. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. May God give us ears to hear. Let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful that you have ears to hear, that you hear our prayers, that you hear our concerns and our troubles, that you hear our confessions, that you hear us when we don't have words to even describe what we're experiencing. And you hear our heart. And that in itself is an indescribable blessing. But that you also speak to us, that you share your heart with us, there's where our hope is. There is where our healing is. There's where we find deliverance and peace and strength. We find wholeness and healing. So we ask without reservations and with no shame whatsoever that you speak to us, that you stir us up and fill us up with your Spirit, that what is said and done here today glorify your name. Amen. I was trying to think of something I've had for 38 years. I've not been married that long. I would have been 12 38 years ago. Some ailment or disease that I've not been able to shake or get rid of. And the thing I thought about was when I was about 3 or 4, I had a bicycle accident that involved a reckless driver, and I was involved in the tricycle, I should say, a tricycle accident. Me and another kid were on a tricycle, and he was driving recklessly toward the end of the sidewalk, and what I remember is I put my foot down to stop the descent across into the culvert and skinned up my toe. And I remember laying there with my toe wrapped up, and I think King Kong was playing on TV, I remember, in the apartments. And Elvis Presley came by to visit us that afternoon. We lived in Memphis. At least I thought it was Elvis Presley. It was probably one of my parents' preacher friends with slick black hair, which would have been close enough to Elvis for me. And after that, my toenail had a crack in it, and it stayed that way for years. Then when I got to college, that toe was always getting stomped on. Matter of fact, when I played soccer, it stayed black for pretty much the whole season. I might make it 2 or 3 days of practice, and then it'd get stomped on or smashed and turned black. And by the time it'd clear up again, we'd play soccer again, and I'd get it smashed. Somewhere along the way, fungus set up. You know, that's real pleasant. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, that may be my longest running ailment. I said some stuff last week that my kids told me was embarrassing, so I'm saying more stuff this week to keep up the tradition. The man in our text has a much more serious problem than a toenail fungus. It must have started when he was very young, because he had been that way for 38 years. And 38 years is really pushing the lifespan for the first century. 38 years. Any of you in here at least 38 years old? We'll ask you how old you are. Terry's at least 38, aren't you, Terry?
Almost twice.
Almost twice. 38 years is a lifetime. 38 years will make you lose your mind. If you had a problem for 38 years, don't you think you would have thought about it every way you can think about it? 38 years of a problem will train you to live with it. You'll figure out how to cope with it. You'll figure out how to endure it. You'll figure out how to live with it. And 38 years will erode your hope. It's hard to have hope in the face of 38 years. And he would have spent the rest of his life that way. How many other years he had left. But Jesus seeks him out. I don't know why Jesus decided 38 years was the right time. I don't know why. But aren't you glad that Jesus seeks us out? Aren't you glad that he goes toward us? For me, this is one of the most interesting things about this story, that Jesus goes looking for him. There's no indication of why Jesus would go looking for him. There's no reason given. It's not like he had heard about him or somebody had told him or even somebody had invited him. I mean, other people had come to Jesus, and there's even some people who got drug in front of Jesus. And so there's some people we'd like to bring to Jesus, isn't it? Like, to you straighten him out and give him back to me in a little better shape. But like, Jesus is going looking. There's not even an indication that the invalid is a believer. In later texts, which maybe we'll get to next week, they don't really even give any suggestion that he became a believer. That what Jesus does to heal him doesn't necessarily translate or indicate maybe a saving experience. And besides, there are dozens of people at these pools, maybe even hundreds. Why this guy? Why him? And Jesus, I mean, does he step over these other people? Does he arrange it chronologically? Like, okay, well, you've got the problem the longest, so I'll start with you. Like, it doesn't say. And most interesting, the man doesn't even ask for healing. Jesus is going toward him to offer something he didn't even expect. It's called the Pool of Bethesda, and literally in Aramaic Hebrew, that means the house of mercy, or possibly the house of flowing water. There's two pools. There's two large pools, and on all four sides, there are porches, colonnade porches, and one in the middle between the two pools. So it's not like a tiny little area. It's pretty substantial. Two pools and five porticos where people gathered in hopes that they would be healed. Some text, and you might have noticed it if you read along, depending on your translation, some texts have an additional part to verse 3 and a verse 4 that explains that an angel of the Lord would sometimes come and stir up the water. And that's why people were hanging around the pools, because the angel would come and stir up the waters, and then the first person in would be the first one to get healed. The text tells us that Jesus is walking through and he sees him lying there, and he knew that he had been sick a long time. And maybe that's just supernatural awareness. Maybe Jesus already knows he's been there a long time, or maybe Jesus arrives and it's just an observation. You know, maybe he sees that the pallet he lays on is a little more substantial and has been there longer. Or maybe what gave it away was that the man was obviously comfortable with his surroundings and familiar. How awkward we feel when we're in a new situation, and how sometimes you can tell someone's very familiar with something just by the way they act. Well, maybe Jesus just noticed that he was quite at home there. Or maybe the man had him a spot. you know, kind of like church pews. He had him a spot, and it was obvious that he had been there and he'd sat there and he was waiting there. And maybe over the years, he had worked his way closer to the edge to improve his odds. But Jesus seeks him out, recognizes that he's been there a long time, and then he asks a question that seems obvious, almost rhetorical question, like, why would you ask this? Do you want to be healed? It flashed through my mind that, well, maybe Jesus is being critical, or maybe Jesus is being cruel. Do you even want to be healed? 38 years and you still aren't healed? Are you even trying? Are you even doing what you can do? I don't think so. That doesn't sit at all with how Jesus acts. But the question opens a path. Do you want to be healed? Is an invitation to consider something and to maybe look at things differently. After 38 years, it might be hard to imagine a different kind of life. If the man had any hope at all, his hope was in his method to get to the pool first, to get in the water before anyone else. That's what his hope was in. Let me ask you a question. What would you say if Jesus asked you, do you want to be healed? The man doesn't even answer the question. And it reveals that his hope for his healing was in getting into the water first. And what a pathetic hope that is for a paralyzed man to win a race to the pool. That's not any hope at all. But that's just the way we think, isn't it? We look at how we might be able to arrive. We pretend and imagine or plot for what we would like to see. I mean, we expect healing and change and growth to be gradual and the result of a process. You know, 3 months ago, I finally started taking medicine for my toe, and it's better. I'm about to finish it up, and it's better. Imagine that after all these years. That's normal. That's what we expect. That's reasonable. There's a process. And there's nothing wrong with using what we can and what we have to get better. But is that really necessary if God is standing right in front of you? If God asks, do you want to be healed? Can you find enough faith and hope to say yes? To not only believe that God can, but to believe that God will? Or do you have more faith in your methods? I know I said that the man had hope in his method, but I don't think he really had any hope at all. 38 years will take a toll on you. It seems evident to me he had just accepted the disability and that it would just be part of his existence. And maybe it's reasonable to accept it. And maybe it's even an act of faith on our part to accept what God has allowed. How long could you keep praying if you didn't see results? And how painful is it to revive hope that has been destroyed by experience? When hope for something better only brought us pain and failure and disappointment, when that happens, we put our hope aside and how terrifying it can be to hope again. But Jesus wants to heal. He's standing right there. He wants to heal the man, and he seeks him out to do it. Jesus doesn't care about the method the man is using to be well. He didn't say, well, here, I'll sit with you, and the next time the water gets stirred, I'll throw you in. There's not even a prayer. Jesus doesn't have to ask for anything. He's been led by the Father to the man to heal him. And then Jesus just does it. We can't really understand this text if we don't see that Jesus is on a mission to seek and to save the lost. He sought the man out. Why he didn't seek him out sooner, I don't know. And the text doesn't say. But it does record the words of Jesus to him. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus just tells him what to do. What he hasn't been able to do. What he had given up hope to do. Get up is against the injury and sickness. Take up your bed is against the hopelessness. Walk is a gift for the future. The opportunity to live differently. Hope in a method can disappoint. It often does. Hope in Jesus never disappoints. Why would our faith be in a method when right here with us in this house of mercy, the Messiah is come to heal? Amen. Earlier this week, when I felt like God gave me the text and the idea, kind of the theme for the sermon, I keep a journal, so I made some notes, and you just start the process of kind of reflection and prayer. And after I got the message, had a meeting with Ken Woodfin and his wife, who have some experience with praying for people with healing. Had some discussions. And then there were just other things where God sort of put some things together. And I felt led to have a little time of prayer here at the end of the service for healing. And there's all kinds of things that we can ask for prayer for. There may be physical things. There may be things you've had longer than 38 years. There may be emotional things that you want healing from. There may be relationships that you want healed. I don't know. But if Jesus is asking you, do you want to be well? Are you going to take his help? Or are you going to ask for what you need? Or are you just going to point out how it hadn't worked before? I don't really have a method for how we're going to do this other than I'm going to invite you to come forward. And this may take a while, so if you need to kind of filter out, you're welcome to. Don't feel like you have to stay. But if you'd like somebody to pray with you for healing, whatever it is, I want to meet you up front and ask you for the opportunity to do that. If I could have a couple of elders, Ken and Dami, would y'all like to come forward? Come on. And we'll pray.